We need to worship the Lord. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. A lot of people have forgotten that. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, including the state. Anyway. Well, praise the Lord. We are opening to the book of Isaiah chapter 5. We left off with the 18th verse, which means I'll probably start on 15. Amen. And yes, I'll tell you about Bill in just a minute. Somebody out there was thinking about that. I just picked that up. Anyway, let's begin with prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee this night that thou hast called us together by thy divine will. For, O Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou hast a purpose. And I pray that thou wouldst put thy purpose in our hearts, that we might do thy will also. I pray that thou wouldst guide and direct us through the power of thy Spirit, that, O Lord, thou wouldst help us in all things to serve thee faithfully, to walk in faith and not in doubt, but rather to lay hold upon eternal life and to embrace thy word. I pray that the devil and every unclean spirit, every force of darkness would now be cast out, everything that would hinder us or get in our way, that it would be driven from us. And, O Lord, I pray that every unclean spirit would be bound and made powerless in Jesus' name and through the power of the blood. Let thy word, O Lord, be lifted up in our hearts and souls. Let thy name be magnified and glorified. And help us to be attentive to hear and ready to do thy will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start in here in just a moment, but I know that some of you are wondering what's going on with Bill. Some of you know a little of it. Some of you know none of it. But Bill Bowden Jr., now, Senior, of course, has come here. You know, the tall man. You know who Bill is. The nice-looking former cop. All right? He'd like that. Anyway. And his son has been here, I don't know, 4 or 5 times, I think, and lives down in northern Illinois. Well, anyway, his son was picked up. He is, I should tell you this, first of all, that Bill Jr. is a freeman, okay? And he's associated, the police down there associate him with the freeman out in Montana. You say freeman nowadays, it's the first thing people think of is Montana, you know? But there are a lot of people that have embraced the feeling that I'm not going to have a driver's license, I'm not going to have a Social Security number, or anything at all whatsoever to do with the federal government. And Bill Jr. is one of those. And what happened is he was driving his truck, I don't know if it's truck or a van, and he didn't have plates for it, but his dad bought plates and took care of that. Otherwise, he'd be pulled over all the time, you know. But anyway, what happened is he crossed the line, not the center line, but the line to the right, the white line along the edge of the highway. He crossed that 2 or 3 times as he was driving, so they pulled him over. And of course, they always ask to see your driver's license. Well, he didn't have one. So they ran him in, and then they charged him with some other things. And of course, he's, in addition, being a freeman, of course, he has nothing to do with the government, so he has not paid taxes for a long time. I don't think that issue has ever come up yet in this ordeal. But anyway, he was put in lockup, and then they took him before the judge. This, I believe, was Thursday or Friday. And the judge was trying to, I don't know if it's an arraignment or what, but there was some kind of a hearing. I don't know the procedure exactly. Anyway, Bill Jr. was not cooperative because he didn't acknowledge the jurisdiction of the court. He kept asking him, is this a common law court? Is this a maritime court? What kind of court is this? And the judge got real mad and said, let me ask the questions. And after that, the judge fell off from his chair and collapsed at that point and had to miss the rest of the day's work. So they brought a woman judge in. Now, if you ever want to see a twin sister to the devil, just look at a woman judge. They don't belong in that, really. They don't belong in that position. And They generally are there. If there's a man standing in front of them, they will try to assert every last drop of estrogen and progesterone that they've got. You know? Trying to compensate. Trying to compensate for the fact that they've been put down for all these years. You know what I mean? I'm not the type that makes cookies. I can swing a gavel. Right? Well, isn't that about it? Okay. I'm not trying to dramatize this overly, but that's just the way I am. I have to express myself a little bit. But anyway, when they were going to fingerprint him, he wouldn't let them fingerprint him, and they weren't about to try and force him. And then they were going to take his picture, you know, for a mugshot, and they said they finally got a picture, but there's hands all over his face because he wouldn't look at the camera, so they had to kind of, you know, he's just totally non-cooperative with them. So until he signs these certain papers, you know, acknowledging the court and all this kind of stuff, that he'll just be locked up indefinitely. And he said, well, I'm not signing the papers. Then they found out that he didn't eat pork, so that's all they've been trying to serve him. So he hasn't eaten for about 4 days. But that's all they're giving him. You know, eat this or nothing. So they've just been real, real nasty because they're, you might say, that's a violation of his rights. Yeah, it is. It is. But that's the way they're treating him down there. So, of course, Bill Sr. went down, and they wouldn't let him see him. They wouldn't let him see his son at all. During visiting hours, couldn't talk to him. They're just being real mean and belligerent about it. So then they were having another hearing. I believe it was Monday. See, he called me last night. I'm losing track of time here. Tuesday. Yeah, it was Monday they had a hearing. And he went into the courtroom, and somehow they found out that he was Bill Jr.'s dad. So they asked him they literally kicked him out. He didn't do anything to be kicked out, but they found out he was his dad. And they didn't want him around. So the judge ordered the bailiff to tell him to get out. So he was told to leave the courthouse. I don't know if it's a courthouse or a safety building or what. And they gave him specific instructions, get on the elevator, go down to first floor, and get out of the building. I said, okay. So he walked over to the elevator. There was an officer standing there. There were four more officers a little ways from him. See, they probably were thinking, this guy's dangerous. You know. So he went down the elevator, and the elevator stopped at what he thought was first floor, but it was second floor. And a whole bunch of people got off, so he got off too. And there were four more officers waiting for him on second floor. They're saying, you got off, you're supposed to get off on first floor. He said, oh, I thought this was first floor. Well, they didn't believe him. So they arrested him for disobeying the police orders. I didn't know there was a... wonder what... have to ask Barney Fife what number that law that is. And also for obstructing justice. So they locked him up, and he said, actually, that was a blessing because then he got to see his son. And he spent about 3 hours with him and then signed an I bond, you know, an individual bond, and got out. $1,500 bond. His son's bond is $15,000. And no writ of habeas corpus, which is another violation of the Constitution. Bring forth the body. But the court doesn't acknowledge that. See, these judges will tell you right out, I'm the law. You know, what I say goes. I know when Dr. Stuart Crane was on trial, he didn't answer the judge at all because he didn't acknowledge the court. He said, he didn't say anything. And the judge was furious because he couldn't get Dr. Crane to answer him. And so at one point he picked up a huge printout of all supposedly the national debt. I'm sure it was an abbreviated form. And threw it at him and said, who's going to pay this? Because Dr. Crane was up for what they said was income tax evasion. And it's really something because it was, in his case, it was a jury trial, but every time positive evidence was presented, the judge kicked the jury out, made them leave so they couldn't hear anything in his favor. But that's the way they operate. They just, you got to understand, the Constitution doesn't mean anything anymore to these people. These judges. Well, anyway, Bill, in the meantime, well, he's out. He called me last night. He played a tape recording of him talking to his son. And his son is just real firm about this. He said, I'm not going to give in. You know, if I have to sit here the rest of my life, I'll sit here the rest of my life, but I'm not giving in. And they both have to go back for a trial a week. Well, let's see. This coming Monday. So I told him that we would keep him in prayer. In the meantime, he was trying to patch up a few things with his son's business. And another thing they charged him with is his son is not having auto insurance. But Bill Sr. has insurance. So they'll no doubt throw that out. There's just a lot of other little harassments and things that went on that Bill would be able to fill in on when he gets back. He said he doesn't think he'll be back until probably, let's see, it'd be the 17th when he has his hearing again, so it'd be after that, probably toward the end of next week. But the way it stands right now, I believe there's just two misdemeanor charges against Bill Sr. He was only in the jail for 3 hours and then bailed himself out. Bill Jr. is not cooperating with them at all, and so everything is on hold with him. So I don't know what's going to happen from there. That's basically what I know so far. The police did say that every time they see that truck or van, whatever he's got, they're going to pull it over. And of course, Bill Sr. said, it was a female officer, woman officer. I don't think women should be cops either. Amen. Whoever heard tell of such a silly thing, hey? You give them a badge and a uniform, and again I say, they begin to manifest all of their negative characteristics, put it that way. Do you ever notice, if you put a woman in a police uniform, or put them in the mayor's office, or a chancellor at a university, I've seen this over and over and over again. You can almost hear Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons sing, walk like a man, talk like a man, huh? Because they start to take on these characteristics. Their voice gets deeper. They start to act like a man, walk like a man, talk like a man, think like a man. And I have never yet seen a woman that makes a good man. Nor have I seen a man that makes a good woman. No, they try to. They try to think like a man. They can't do it because they're not one. It's kind of like the devil. He wants to be God. He's running for the office, which proves that he isn't God, and he can't be God. And he tries to convince other people that he is God. That's his whole business, you see. Well, anyway, I don't know at this point exactly what will happen, but they do want your prayers. So that's basically, I hope this wasn't too incoherent, but it does sound a little choppy, but if you can get the gist of it. Ruth?
Well, and I know we really need a lot of spiritual wisdom, but it seems to me, as Christians, we need to we're under basically a Roman government, and we have to look at the Bible and see how the apostles or Jesus Christ would have handled it and looked at, their examples for us, like Jesus saying, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. I mean, this is not a Christian government. We shouldn't pretend it's a Christian government or expect that sort of thing. And, we are supposed to respect our authority. I think that, do you see any real reason to...
What you've really got with the government today is the most corrupt. This is the most, in its own way, the most corrupt system that's ever existed in the face of the earth. And the reason it's so corrupt, the reason I say that, is because it's so incredibly deceptive. It puts on the false front, the facade of, we are constitutional, we are for the rights of the people, and the reverse is true. The Constitution is, see, what I told Bill last night, I said, I think you know this better than most people. This is not the country it once was. This is not the world it once was. And until people have had a real run-in with the system, and you see how vicious and ruthless and cruel they really are, it's hard for people to understand that. But once you've looked them in the face and you've seen the devil, you know, once you've seen that, then you know. And most people really haven't ever been there. But don't worry, you'll get your opportunity as time goes on because they keep closing in. But don't worry about that. See, one of the things that Jesus said would happen, I mean, you get to the point where you can do no right with them. You know what I mean? They can get you for cooperating. They can get you for not cooperating. If they want to get you, they'll get you. But here again, I do agree we need to look in the Bible and follow the Lord's instructions, but you've got to stand up for what is right. Okay? We could get into a real debate on this, but what I'm looking at and what I'm seeing in the world today is something that has changed so fast. It was gradual at first. But all of a sudden you wake up and you realize, hey, wait a minute. Everything that was here is gone. I'm somewhere else. I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. Right? Who was that? Dorothy said, yeah, right. It's been a long time since I saw The Wizard of Oz. I was just a little guy. I was little once. I really was. By the way, that was one of the most occult things ever put out, too, I got to tell you. I'm sure if you think about it a little bit, you can see it. You can see it with one eye. Anyway, just to make a long story short, pray for them. And they're believing everything will somehow work out. Do you ever stop and think about what does it mean to be, if you look at some of the men that wrote these great works of John Locke and some of these men, what does it mean to be free? You know, if you're born into this world, why do you have to be held captive by a system? What if you just want to be free? What if you want to just live off the land? You know, why do you have to have somebody come down and tie strings on you and make you fit into a society that's totally godless? If you choose to live that way, what gives anyone the right, as long as you're not hurting anyone, doing anyone any harm? So you got these gang members, these queers, these homosexuals running around out there, but they won't arrest them. And they know where they are. So you have to ask yourself the question, why do they hate certain people so much? See, you can go and kill somebody, you can perform abortions, you can rob, you can steal, you can injure. That's one kind of crime. And they go pretty easy on that stuff. You got to admit it, they go pretty easy. But when something involves the system, non-cooperation, especially financially, I'm thinking again when Dr. Stuart Crane stood before the Supreme Court of Michigan with his attorneys, and he said to his attorneys, you know what's going to happen, because he was there on a tax charge, state income tax evasion. He said, I'm going to predict, he said to his attorney, here's what they're going to say. They're going to say that when I raise the issue of the Constitution, that the Constitution applies to all things except money. Okay? That constitutionally you're right, but because it involves money, and money is the lifeblood of the nation, and we've got to collect these taxes, that they're going to disregard the Constitution. And nobody heard him say it to his attorneys, but you know, when they read the decision, it was word for word. He said, because money is the lifeblood of the nation, we have to suspend the Constitution in this matter. Constitutionally, you're correct. But they said, we just can't allow it. So where are you? When you don't know where you stand, you don't know what's right and what's wrong anymore as far as they're concerned. See, I'll tell you why the government is doing that. Money that is printed and put into circulation, it's actually borrowed into circulation because there are bonds involved. And what happens is, in order for the government to get that currency and put it into circulation, it has to have a collateral to put before the Federal Reserve. Just like if you went to the bank and you were going to borrow money, you'd have to have collateral, right? something to guarantee that they would get their money back. Well, the collateral that the government uses is their ability to collect income tax. In other words, the IRS becomes the collection agency, the collateral for all the money put into circulation. That's really how it works. Quite a system, isn't it? I didn't really want to get into economics, but let me go back to Bill for just a minute. There was a woman cop there, and she said that they were going to pull that van or truck over every time they saw it. And Bill looked at her and said, "Uh-oh, you said the wrong thing, little lady." The cops don't like it when you call them little lady. He said, "That's harassment. And I heard you say it, and my friend heard you say it, and this other officer here heard you say it, and this man over here heard you say it, and when it comes time for me to take you to court and I file charges against you, your fellow officer is going to have to, I'm going to call him, subpoena him to witness." So he's giving him a real, real rough time. So we'll see what happens. But, they're trying to do what they think is best. Some people are prepared to fight that battle, some people are not. And, you just pretty much have to follow your conscience.
Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of the other way that the queen refused to come before they came. She called her, to come before him, and she refused to do it. And so his advisors told him, "You have to get rid of her, because if she doesn't follow your, rules, no one else in the kingdom will. Everybody else can be."
Got to make an example.
Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to make an example out of it so that everybody else is afraid. Oh, if it can happen. I told Bill, I said, "You tell them when you go to court, you look at everybody in there and you say, if you're going to let this system do this to me, just remember they can do it to you. What you're doing to me, someday you can be standing where I am. And you're going to wish it wasn't this way." That's just the way it is. So, do keep them in prayer. But you do see this tremendous, unbelievable arrogance in these judges. There was another time when Dr. Crane had to go to court for some minor little offense. He was telling about this, and he was telling his neighbor about it. Now, the judge was the brother of his neighbor. His neighbor was a Jew. So the judge he was going to go in front of was a little Jew, And his neighbor said, "When you go to court tomorrow, you're going to see God." Meaning his brother. So Dr. Crane went in there and stood in front of the bench, and the judge had his back turned toward him. And the bailiff said, "How do you plead?" Yeah, they always say it like that. "How do you plead?" And he didn't answer him. "How do you plead?" No answer. Three or four times like that. Finally, Crane looked at the bailiff and said, "I'm not going to enter a plea." He said, "We'll put you in jail." He said, "You can't put me in jail." He said, "I'm not going to enter a plea to any man's back." He said, "I have to face this bar, and so does that judge." He said, then the judge whipped around and just glared at him. The bailiff was going to go and grab him, and the judge said, "No, leave him alone. He's right." He finally realized, he was in trouble. This was some guy that knew the way it had to be. So anyway, you do run into this awful arrogance. And you got to remember, the reason for that is, it's an antichrist system we're dealing with. And the devil had that arrogance when he rose up before God. His pride, the Bible says, is what caused him to fall. And fall he did. Amen. What's really nice about the whole thing, though, is that we are so close to the coming of the Lord, when he's going to come with flaming fire to take vengeance on those that know not God. We're so close to that that you can bear up to these things. Just knowing the fact that we're so near and all these things will be taken care of. Listen, there's a God in heaven. We're not on our own. He's looking out for us. Just do your best to do what the book says. Just follow the book. And I mean the word of God, not... See, another thing that came out, I got to tell you this real quickly. Bill Jr. said he would not take the oath. You know, they wanted him to solemnly swear. He said, no. He said, I won't do that. The scripture says not to take an oath. And so they had the chaplain come in. The chaplain said, no, you can take an oath. You better read your Bible all over again. What a num-num. These guys, where are they? They don't know anything about the Bible. Either that or using a different Bible. They must be using the King Arthur version or something. Or maybe the two-way version. The Catholic Bible is a two-way version. There's the two-way version. It works either way, see? No, the scripture does say, swear not at all. Let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. He quoted that to the chaplain. And the chaplain just, no. Isn't like that. Now you got to remember one more thing, and then I'm going to get right into Isaiah. I got to tell you this. You got to understand this. Most of the ministers out there, I'm going to say 90% of them, in any denomination, you take your pick, know almost nothing about the Bible. They've studied homiletics, they've studied apologetics, they've studied psychology, they've studied all these different things. They know almost nothing about Scripture. And they get all tangled up in it and all lost in it. And they don't know if they're coming or going. So with that thought in mind, see, they got a certificate, sometimes a whole bunch of them. Enough letters after their name to make alphabet soup. Long robes to wear. Impressive surroundings. But that's it. You start talking scripture, they look at you like you're some kind of a nut. In one of the seminaries, in fact, it was the old American Lutheran Church, which now merged to become, I don't even know what they call it. The American Lutheran Church back in 1966, 67, had a president of the whole synod by the name of Ulrogi. Ulrogi stood up in front of the incoming class of freshman ministers coming to seminary. And he said, the first thing I want all of you future ministers to know is that I personally don't believe there is a God. What's he doing there? I mean, if you don't believe there's a God, well, you can see why he's there. He's trying to get the others to feel the same way about it, but just not tell anybody. So, and that was the biggest of the Lutheran synods. Unbelievable. Oh, it was discovered later that he was a card-carrying communist. He and Gus Hall, true name Halberg, were, it's a good Irish name, isn't it? Were very close friends. Gus Hall being the head of the Communist Party. So anyway, we're up against it. But isn't it wonderful? Amen! If you've got faith, you can make it. Well, I'm not attempting to overthrow the government. I'll let God do that. He's going to do a very good job of it. As far as I'll obey the laws if they're good laws, what I mean by that is if it doesn't encroach upon my walk with God, I'll obey as far as I can. But once it starts to encroach on the Scripture and what I believe in my life for God, then it's an absolute no. So this has got to be the test. All right? Ruth? I understand what you're saying. No, I have a driver's license too, and that doesn't bother me. I guess if there are some people who really want to fight that battle and just live free on earth, you know, that I'm not going to criticize them for it either, you know. But as far as I'm concerned in my walk with God, having a driver's license doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother my salvation or hinder my service to the Lord. Okay. But I guess it's an individual thing. You know? Dan? That's where we say, uh-uh. Yep. Then you're violating Scripture because they're putting a... If they want to put a mark on your skin, no way. And like I say, we're all going to be put to the test eventually unless the Lord really surprises us and comes quicker. But if it gets to the point where they tell you to go to the post office and get ink jetted, then there's another way. Remember one thing, no matter how bad it gets, there's always, God has another way. Another way for you. You don't have to do what they want you to do. When it violates, and if it gets to the point where you're Daniel in the lion's den, well, he made it. Amen, we've got the same God. The reason people don't know God that way right now is they've never been put to the test. We've never really had great struggles like some of these men in the Bible have had. Anyway, I feel like preaching, so I'm going to tie into this right now. Amen. Well, this only took me 25 minutes to have this little prelude here. And we've already prayed. Let's start in. I'm going to read verse 15. It talks about the destruction, the judgment of God coming upon the ungodly. And it says, and the mean man shall be brought down. Now, mean here means average. That's your middle class. And the mighty man shall be humbled. Praise the Lord. Won't that be a wonderful day? And the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. That day is coming. They will be brought down. Pride will fall, and everybody that has it. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. In other words, God can literally make a way for his people in the midst of trouble. He is able to sustain you. He's able to feed you. He's able to keep you from this world system. Amen. I believe that. I believe he's great enough. See, some people, you talk about people having faith or not having faith. Well, I think the reason some people don't have much faith is it's because the God that they were taught to believe in isn't very great. They've been told, well, he can't do that, or this won't happen, or these things just don't happen anymore. We are serving a God who made all of this with his voice. Let there be light. It was commanded, and it was. Even the first thing he made, people can't figure out. The physicists have never figured out what light is. Oh, they say it's energy. And they can refract it. They can bend it. And it forms seven different colors. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. You knew that, didn't you? Remember from school, from science, Roy G. Biv? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. The seven colors of the spectrum. And they look at that, oh, this is marvelous. But they still really don't know where it came from. They understand it's emitted from certain forms of energy. You can heat up a filament, you'll get light. Light comes from the sun. Of course, as it shines, as the sun shines, and the light travels through space, you can't see it. Space is dark, even though light is going through it. Because the light has to be diffused in an atmosphere or a hydrosphere before you can even know that it's there. Now, this is a marvelous miracle. I could take this red book and I could go into a completely dark closet, no light, and I'd have this red book, but it wouldn't be red anymore. This would no longer be a red book in a dark, totally dark closet. You understand that? It wouldn't be red anymore. Or an apple. It wouldn't be red. Because what happens is you have to have light to have color. And the apple or the book absorbs all the colors of the spectrum. But the way of the chemical molecular makeup, it bounces the red off. It reflects red, so you see red. This isn't a red book. It looks red. That apple isn't a red apple. It looks red. You see? They don't even know what light is. But they're the ones with the certificates that say they're the experts. They know all about it. No, God can't be figured out, and His works are past finding out. That's why they come up with ridiculous alternatives like evolution and things, nonsensical things like that. Now, the Lord is able to sustain us in time of trouble. In verse 18, you have a condemnation once again of the ungodly and some reasons given for the condemnation. The Lord said, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were with a cart rope." Now notice there's a mockery coming up next. What are these people doing? They're drawing iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were with a cart rope. In other words, they're making a regular parade out of it. They're parading their iniquity and their sin. They are letting everybody know they are now out of the closet and they can have their gay pride parade or any other thing they're flaunting. Any form of ungodliness, because nobody's stopping them now. No restraint. Isn't that awful? And what are they saying? They're saying, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. That's a mockery. These iniquitous people are saying, all right, he's going to come, let's see him come. Why doesn't he hurry up? We want to see this. What rank blasphemy. They're going to see it. They're going to see it. You see, there's nothing more corrupt and more vile than a queer. See, they want us to think that these are just little pansy boys, harmless. Huh? They're ruthless, they are corrupt, they're bloodthirsty, they don't care about anything else other than their lust. And anybody that gets in the way, they'll do everything they can to get them. Remember, it's Sodom? Even after these queers were blinded, they wearied themselves to find the door. Their sight was taken away. They went blind. And they still wanted to fulfill their lust. Now, how bad can you get? Let me show you something here. I am going to show you that the Bible says that when you start sinning and you start going downhill in sin, when you get to the bottom of that totem pole, when you get to the very bottom, it's a queerdom. Homosexuality is the lowest place that a person can sink to. Let me show you something in Romans 1. I know this is not a political correct preaching, and they'd run you right off a university campus for this. They like to run you right off the street for this, because they're protecting these. I mean, let's face it, the queers are an endangered species. Right? So they got to protect them like the spotted owls. Romans 1. Now watch this. We're going to go down to verse 18. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. That ought to comfort us. Amen. And unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There are people who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know what it is. They know what they're supposed to do. But they live unrighteously. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. How many times have we heard it said, you can't understand the Godhead, it's a great mystery, you'll never figure it out. The Bible says it's clearly seen and it is understood. And when I know that there is one God, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And I know that He fills the universe, but that He put on flesh, that He was born of a virgin named Mary and came into this world as a man, still filling the universe, and yet inhabiting this humanity as the Son of God. I can still know that there's one God who is all in all, and that this one that we call Jesus, according to the Bible, that He was God manifest in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. They weren't up there drawing straws to see which one had come down. Like some of these crazy preachers preaching. No, the Bible says that we're saved through the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching, the foolishness of preaching. Amen. You understand that? The first and fundamental thing, if we can't figure this out, then we're way out in left field. We're way gone somewhere. That there is one God. Every heathen people, every pagan people have a pantheon of gods and goddesses. They have more than one. But the Bible tells me there is one almighty God. And He was manifest in the flesh. And Jesus brought this out so beautifully so many times. John 3:13, remember? No man hath ascended into heaven save he which is come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. He's standing right on the earth when He said it. He was not only standing on this earth, He was in heaven at the same time. Amen. Remember when Philip said, show us the Father and it sufficeth us? And Jesus looked at Philip and said, how long have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? People don't even know who God is anymore. They've got some Catholic doctrine that they've hung on to, and they got it from the witches. You ever wonder why that altar in St. Peter's and the altar in these different churches in these Roman systems and the Lutherans copied the Romans? Come on. Mother of harlots, abominations of the earth. Anyway, you wonder, you look at their altar and you see it's identical to an altar of Diana, of the Diana cult, the witches. Diana of Ephesus. Yeah. Ephesians, rather. Great is Diana of the Ephesians, they chanted. It's the same thing. They glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Well, amen. The professors became fools? professors? These astute men? Yeah. Verse 23 says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. What'd they do? Start making statues. Pictures. Icons. Made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. What happens when you become an idolater? When you get so religious and yet so godless that you become an idolater, it paves the way to queerdom. You wonder why there's so much of it? What is the ultimate idolatry? Think about this. What would be the ultimate idolatry? Well, you might say, if they put up a statue of St. Andrew or St. Peter or of the Virgin Mary or something and bow down and weep before it and say the rosary and light candles and worship this idol, oh, that must be ultimate in idolatry. But it isn't. You might say, well, the worship of Satan himself, wouldn't that be the ultimate? You might think so. But there's something even worse than that. When you worship yourself. When you believe you have a God self like the New Agers do. When you're a Mormon and believe that you can become deity. Huh? When you get into a situation where you can become a part of the supreme architect of the universe. You can become God. That's the ultimate idolatry. The worship of self. And how many people do that? They worship their own body, their own mind, their own will, their own emotions. And of course, pride is the framework of all of that worship. The work of their own hands. So it tells us that God at this point just gives them up. Verse 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature. See that? The creature, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. You know what that verse is about? It's about lesbians. That's what that verse is about. Now, you wonder, what are these people preaching and teaching in these churches where they have special services for the queers? They certainly can't be reading this. Maybe they do in defiance. I don't know. I've never been to one of those services. Furthermore, that's one thing I don't want to try to infiltrate. I've been in Masonic lodges, I've been a lot of places, but you'll never find me going into one of those things. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, which means suitable. In other words, they get exactly what's coming to them when they do that. And you know, there are so many different diseases coming out and different strains of AIDS and all these problems. I believe it's the judgment of God. Nobody's ever going to convince me otherwise. Sister Pat? Yeah. It is. It's a spirit. You got to understand that homosexuality, lesbianism, sodomy, it is a spirit. It's a devil that gets into people. That's what makes them do those things. It would have to be. Anybody who's ever read what they do, you would have to agree with me. It would take a spirit, a wicked spirit, to make anybody misbehave in that way. And Verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Reprobate means unable to tell right from wrong, without judgment, without discernment, where they can actually justify this in their own mind and firmly believe in it, that it is right. So much so that they'll have parades, carry signs, fight for it. Yeah. But here's their true nature. You see the downward spiral here? Getting worse and worse and worse. Here's their true nature now. Verse 29. They're not a bunch of harmless little people. Let them do their own thing. Let them coexist. Here's the true nature. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. You listen to them talk, you'll find they're haters of God. But they want to be called Christian. Figure that one out. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. And these sodomites now have been trying to take over the internet. You know, the computer, the internet. And incidentally, that anti-obscenity or decency act, I think they call it. Can you imagine a government coming out with a decency act? To clean up the internet, the Supreme Court ruled today that that's unconstitutional. It violates free speech. So you can put any kind of filth out there you want. Just put it online for anybody to get a hold of. And they want everybody to have a computer. And they're in all these schools. And I'll tell you, these children, and they make it so easy with Netscape. All you've got to do is click on the icon. And there's all the whole cesspool of garbage. And these young people can go into a school computer and bring that stuff right up. It's getting bad out there. I know I don't paint a very pretty picture, do I? Well, I'd rather do this, get up here and preach the Word of God, than be downstairs having an ice cream social and playing bingo. Huh? Anyway. Now, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. No, really? Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Who's he talking about? Read back a couple verses. The gay society. That's what this is all about. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And then they go and rally and they want the government, find a cure. We demand that you find a cure. Can you imagine going to Bill Clinton and shaking your fist at him and demanding that he find a cure to anything? Now his latest tactic is he's flying around the country down south there, going to all these black churches that have burned down. And they said that he actually had a tear in his eye. He had a tear in his eye for this black church that's now been rebuilt. But he got a little shook up, you know. He was flying over near Lubbock, Texas, and they were going to be serving a Spanish dinner there. Mexican dinner, I guess you could call it. And they said they hit some turbulence. He felt the first jolt, so he quick buckled himself in. I got this over Reuters News Service. Clinton was on Air Force One. He had another 46 people for crew, and then there were another 20-some people on there. There were a lot of people on that plane. It's a 747 is what it is. Big plane. They're flying over there, and they hit this turbulence. And it was such a jolt that had he not been, in fact, some of the Secret Service people were injured because it was the turbulence was so great that it literally threw people against the ceiling of the airplane. Didn't just bounce them in the air, but threw them against the ceiling. And Clinton said he got his belt buckled just in time. They said that they were ankle deep in enchiladas and burritos. Ankle deep. They said it spattered the walls, it hit the ceiling, all over Air Force One there was Mexican food. I always knew they were full of beans. Huh? I don't look at any of this stuff as coincidence. I think the Lord was shaking them up, saying, hey, you know, next time it's not going to be so nice. You better think. I mean, the Lord is merciful. He gives space to repent. Aren't you glad he does? I mean, we should be glad. But I believe that he shook that plane. And I'll tell you, if you're a Secret Service agent, and that's a pretty dangerous job nowadays, because if you're too close to the president, you'll probably die before your time. But you're on that plane, and all of a sudden you're plastered against the ceiling. That should make you think. Because you don't know if you're going down or what's happening. By the way, what is an enchilada? Anybody know?
It's like a burrito covered with a chili.
Oh, that must have been quite a sight, huh? I didn't know what an enchilada was. I don't eat Mexican food. I don't eat it away from home because I don't know what's in it, and I don't eat it at home because I do know what's in it. I just don't like it. Anyway, that's my opinion. So I had to ask what it was. But yeah, that plane really got shook. And then he landed. This church burned down 2 years ago, the one he visited. How come he picked right now? Because the cameras click and the president cares about these poor black people and all these churches. What a religious man. He's going to all these black churches down here. They got 80 of them. Got burned down, and he cares. Yes, it sure does, doesn't it? You know, he's got the FBI, he's got the ATF working on who's burning these churches down. Janet Reno got together with all these pastors to try to figure out what to do to keep their churches from being burned down. Janet Reno, a woman who is so incredibly evil and so incredibly ugly, should scare the devil himself if he looked her in the face. Really, did you ever get a good look at her? That wouldn't change your looks. No, I can't help it. I don't like her. She's full of devils. I'm not breathing hatred against her. It's my prerogative. I don't like her. She has done so much harm. Look who that man has picked. All these queers, weirdos, lesbians. Remember Roberta, who prefers to be called Bob Ochtenberg. Huh? Remember Jocelyn Elders. I mean, he didn't just have one bad pick. I mean, a law of averages says you got to get one or two good ones, right? He got all the... I always believed his cabinet was the... I call them the sausage group. The reason I call them the sausage group is because sausage in German is the worst. The worst. Little play on words. That you could possibly get, he got them. He knew the cracks and gutters to pull them out of. Just unbelievable. Let's go back to Isaiah 5. Now, oh, by the way, that's the first time Air Force One has ever been jolted like that. I think there's more to come. I really do. Keep praying. So the Lord pronounced a woe on those that parade their iniquity around and that are mocking him. Now in verse 20, he says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Backwards. To take the evil things and say, this is good. Can you think of any examples of that, Dan? Oh.
That's a good thing, though. Showed a smiling face on her, first smiling face on the big picture in there.
Well, I will tell you, yeah. And you know what they'll say? They'll say that if you have two women get married or two men get married, it's a good thing. You know why they say it's a good thing? Because you're guaranteed birth control. They've said this. Our government. They said, we got too many people on earth. The people are polluting this beautiful Mother Earth. And so if you have enough homosexuality, enough sodomy, enough lesbianism, you will naturally have fewer children running around, and the population will spiral downward. That's a very good example of calling evil good. Louis? Yeah, you've got Dr. Death. By the way, you wonder about this Dr. Kevorkian. They say, what a wonderful man. He helps these people die. He's a ghoul. He's a perverted old ghoul, is what he is. He likes to watch death. He likes to watch people die. He likes to watch them expire. Gone. He likes to watch their body become lifeless. He enjoys it. He gets high off from it. With glee and with delight, he watches them breathe their last. Yeah. Yeah. And nobody's stopping him.
He uses the excuse that he tells his people what to do, and they do it.
Why doesn't he show them once on himself? Just demo the thing. Do our demo, right. Have that done with. I mean, you got all this kind of crazy stuff going on, and you got to remember, the Lord's looking down from heaven watching all this. You got Kevorkian running around, you got Bill Clinton running around as phony as any man has ever been. But I'll give you this. One thing about Bill Clinton, you can't argue with him. Did you know that? Because he'll always tell you exactly what you want to hear, so you can't argue with him. He'll say what you want to hear, so you can't argue with him. He just won't do anything. He won't follow through. It's all words. If you're going to have a debate with him, he'll agree with you. What did Bob Dole recently say? Bob Dole accused Bill Clinton of becoming Bob Dole. Bob Dole said, he's mad. He's mad as a hornet. He said, I can't argue with the guy. He agrees with me. But in action, he's totally opposite of what he's saying. He'll make some point blank statement. He'll come back and say, I didn't say that. We'll play it back for you, Bill. I didn't say it. When you can't cope with reality, that is a legal definition of insanity. Ruth? Would they do such a thing?
Yes.
You mean to tell me our government would burn down black churches in order to stir up trouble?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I believe that right from the start.
Doesn't it seem unusual for the federal government to be involved in these issues anyway, because separate churches
The federal has become everything. FEMA will come in and manage everything. Got the ATF. The ATF loves religion. They like to play with religious things. That's their specialty. See? The government wants to get into the religious business. And I think that the religions have produced so much baloney, the government has to inspect it. See, that's the problem. Well, I think so. I think so. What is that title that these churches, the federal, they get involved with the federal thing? Does anybody know the number of that? 501c3? Yeah. See, what you do then, if you apply for that and you get that status, you agree that you cannot speak against the government at all. That you have to be totally cooperative with them and everything that they want you to do. Here's another thing. They've got these food pantries, these federally managed food pantries. They want churches to dish out this food in a food pantry. And to do so, if they haven't required it before, they do now that you have a federal number. When you take that federal number and you take that government food to hand out from Second Harvesters or whatever, then you've got to abide by all of their restrictions. Anytime you lock hands with Big Brother, then there is a ripple effect. Chains begin to rattle, and you start to realize, I'm chained to something I didn't want to be chained to. And a lot of people don't understand that. They have never encountered the beast face to face.
There's no free lunch.
There's always a price to pay. There is no free lunch. That is right. So I believe what I'm seeing here is God saw all of this long ago. We have to close because we're out of time. I want to read a couple of verses and then we'll stop and I'll refer back to this next time. Because he does tell us, beginning in verse 24 and 25, what's going to happen because of all this condition. I'll give you a little preview. He does say that foreigners would come in and take over the country. Do you think that could happen? Already has, hasn't it? And when we get that far, I'm going to refer you over to Jeremiah chapter 5 and show you it says the same thing there. That because of all of this stuff that people have gotten themselves into, that foreigners will come in and they will not be merciful. They will seize control. And we've seen it. It's happening. Where does this leave us? Well, standing in the presence of God, we know how to pray. We know what to do. We know all that we can do. We need to do it. We need to seek the Lord for direction. We need to be vocal. Let people know what's going on, because let's face it, there's a great blindness. There's a great veil over the understanding of the people of this world. In fact, they often refer to it when they say, what's this world coming to? They frame it as a question, don't they? Surprised every day by something else. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward. That's bribery. They take bribes, don't they? Do you think any of our senators have ever taken a bribe? Do you think any of them haven't? We have got the finest Senate money can buy. They're bought. They're not elected, they're bought. Presidents go for $6 to $8 million. You see, the Illuminists have always said this. Now think about this profound statement. They've always said, you never want to put politics in the hands of politicians. The one ruling is not the one you see. you ever see these big meetings, council meetings that are held of all different kinds? It's not the guy that's up there speaking that's running the show. It's the guy sitting behind him with a cigar. He's in charge. He's not the one you hear. But he's ruling it. He's running the show. And all you got to do is follow the money trail. I'll tell you about it sometime. The FRN, the Federal Reserve Note, is the most weird thing that's ever come along economically. Who knows what a good is? A good. Something that satisfies a human want, right? Or a human need. Talk about goods and commodities. A good. There are two kinds of goods. Economic goods, non-economic goods. Economic goods are things that you have to work to obtain. Non-economic goods are things you don't have to work for to obtain. Like air, for an example. We can breathe it. It's a good, isn't it? Oh, it's a good, all right. If you don't think it is, just take it away and you'll see how many people go after it. In fact, oxygen is the most powerful drug there ever was. Because when you're born, one gulp and you're hooked for life. Huh? And you want that stuff and you want that stuff and you breathe it all the time, right? That's a powerful drug. Anyway, that is an example of a non-economic good. Is there anything in all of this world, and I already gave it away, anything that is both an economic and non-economic good? There's only one thing and one thing only, and that's a Federal Reserve note. Because we, in order to get them, have to work for them, don't we? That makes it an economic good. But the ones producing them don't have to do anything. To them, it's a non-economic good. Because all they've got to do is turn on the press, start the paper going, and they print them. They don't have to do anything to get them. They make them. But to us, we're on the other end. We got to work to get them. They don't have to do anything to get them. They can make a page of $100 bills for less than 50 cents. Hot off the press. Of real cost. Now, if you're talking gold or silver, whether your name is Edmund de Rothschild or David Meyer, you've got to go out and dig. We'd both have to dig to get it. But if you're Edmund de Rothschild, you can flip a switch and print all you want and make David Meyer go out and work for him. See the point? That's the only thing there is in the world of economics that is both an economic and non-economic good. There's nothing else. You can think all day and all night. You won't think anything else. Because it's either one or the other. But that is so weird that it is both. Now, I've just given you more than 4 years of college economics. Right there. You got more right now than you'd get in 4 years of college. That one little example. Let's stand together. I'm actually feeling very good tonight. Very, very good because I know the Lord's coming. I know I'm on the right side of the fence. I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And the Lord has these people on the run. He really does. Judgment is just around the corner. You're going to see catastrophe after catastrophe. I can't wait till tomorrow to see what's going to happen. It's that, I mean, it's an everyday thing. Something happens every day to remind me and to tell me the Lord's coming. I can't wait to see what's going to happen tomorrow. Keep praying. Father in heaven, we thank Thee tonight that we know Thou art with us. We thank Thee for salvation, for the gift of Thy Spirit. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy holy word. I pray that thou wouldst be with these people, bless them, watch over them, help all of us, O God, to be ready for thy soon coming. We look to thee, O Lord, as our King of Kings, as our Savior. And I pray that thou wouldst guide and direct us and bring us together again at the appointed time, if it be thy will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.